Cognitive impairments post-stroke are common. Assessment of cognition typically involves pen and paper tasks, which are often reliant on linguistic and motor function, creating barriers for many stroke survivors. The characteristic of stroke survivors excluded from cognition assessments have never been investigated. I'm Carmen Lave Jenkins, Managing Editor of the International Journal of Stroke, and I spoke to Kylie Wall, submitting author for Assessing Cognition After Stroke, Who Misses Out? A Systematic Review.
My name is Kylie Wall and I'm from the University of Queensland, currently doing a PhD.
Kylie, thanks very much for speaking to us. Could you please outline your research question?
Sure. Firstly, we wanted to look at sampling methods used in studies evaluating cognitive assessments for stroke survivors. So we had three parts to our research question. Firstly, we wanted to determine if participants that are included in studies that evaluate the primometric properties of cognitive assessments for stroke survivors, whether they actually represent the stroke population. And secondly, we wanted to identify the different approaches to assess cognitive skills after stroke. And then lastly, we wanted to see if these different approaches actually influence the stroke samples used in the primometric studies.
So why would this information be important to the management of for stroke survivors?
Well, firstly, cognitive impairment after stroke is very common, with up to 70% of stroke survivors experiencing cognitive impairment. And this has a huge impact on people's activities of daily living, return to work and quality of life. So assessing these skills in patients is very important so we can plan appropriate rehabilitation. And the international guidelines recommend that all patients should be tested for cognitively screened after stroke.
So how did you conduct your review? What was your methodology?
So we applied the PRISMA guidelines to see the needs of our review, and we developed a comprehensive search strategy with the help of a research librarian at the University of Queensland. So we ran the strategy in a number of databases to find articles, and we also conducted a graduate search, which the librarian also helped out with. Our search date started at year 2000 because we wanted to focus on contemporary methods of evaluating primometric properties of cognitive assessments. And this start date was also used by a review published by Leeds and colleagues in 2012. And these authors also were looking at contemporary studies to detect cognition and mood assessments for stroke survivors. Our eligibility criteria, obviously looking at the stroke population, participants needed to be 18 years and above. Our eligibility criteria was that we, of course, included the stroke population. Participants needed to be 18 years or above. We were focusing on cognitive assessments where at least one cognitive process was measured. We excluded single case studies. Also, if the assessment was not dedicated to assessing cognition, despite capturing some cognitive functions, so things like the functional independence measure and stroke severity scales, we excluded. And if stroke data was not reported separately from other pathology. And that was our criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And then our data extraction, we developed a standardised data extraction form that contained participant and study characteristic details, as usual, for a systematic review. Then we extracted reasons for excluding the participants for each study, verbatim, and we also recorded reasons for missing data. And we contacted all if this information was unclear or not reported, which was often the case for the missing data. Then what we did, we scanned these reasons for exclusion and the missing data and quantified the frequency used. We also applied this scanning process to report the mode of delivery of cognitive assessments. For example, if it was a pen and paper-based assessment or a computer-based assessment. So that was our methods.
Mm-hmm. So what were your findings?
Our findings from the review, so we started out with a 3,731 hits from the database searching and ended up including 109 articles. And overall, we found that samples used in studies that evaluate pliometric properties of cognitive assessments didn't represent the stroke population. We created six broad categories and a number of subcategories to describe these reasons participants were excluded. And interestingly, the most commonly used reason was cognitive impairments themselves. So this included things like a history of dementia, visual perceptual deficits, and also recurrent stroke. Another reason which was commonly used at 62% was issues associated with communication, followed by 42% of endurance problems, 39% reported sensory loss reasons, for example, hearing and visual deficits, and psychiatric illness was reported in 38% of the articles, and lastly, motor limitations was at 27%. We didn't get a lot of information from the actual numbers that were excluded, so it was only the articles only reported the reasons for exclusion. In relation to missing data and dropouts, these were rarely reported. Only 20 studies reported the reasons for dropouts, which were primarily related to study logistics, such as patient refusal or unable to be reached. Another common reason was also death. And lastly, we want to see if the reasons for exclusion were influenced by the mode of delivery used. And firstly, we identified six different methods to assess cognition. And not surprisingly, the pen and paper-based assessments were the most prevalent at 73%. Then followed by virtual reality assessments, which were 12 of the 109 articles. Computer-based articles, there were six of those. Five observational functional performance articles. And that was referring to the functional OT assessment, for example, a kitchen assessment such as the kettle making test. Three articles were informant-based, and telephone assessment were also evaluated in three articles. And even though these different modes of delivery require different skills to complete the task, this didn't appear to influence the eligibility criteria much at all. And we feel that the reason for this, or one reason, is that it had more to do with the study methodology rather than the actual assessment per se, because a lot of the clinometric studies were wanting to evaluate and validate the tools. So this means things like sensitivity and specificity was important, and therefore a high history of dementia, recurrent stroke, patients like that needed to be excluded. And while this is important, there are still a lot of patients that come in with pre-morbid issues, recurrent stroke, and these patients need to have access to valid and reliable cognitive assessments. And also another reason is that many of the assessments, because of the pen and paper-based assessments, are often linguistically loaded, meaning patients often need to respond verbally to answer questions. They sometimes need to read and write or draw. So therefore, patients with communication deficits, such as aphasia, even patients with upper limb weakness, they're unable to complete these pen and paper-based assessments. So while these other kind of assessments use a different mode, they still use pen and paper-based assessments as a reference standard for validation. So everything, the criteria was still heavily associated with the pen and paper-based assessments.
You've been listening to a podcast interview with Kylie Wall, submitting author of Assessing Cognition After Stroke, Who Misses Out? A Systematic Review. The International Journal of Stroke is the flagship publication of the World Stroke Organization. Please consider becoming a member, and together we can change the global burden of stroke.